Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition. Before You Bet, Aaron live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So great big show planned for you guys today because we got a great big day in sports. We have a very interesting looking Monday night football game. Only the Jets are what losing team in the history of sports brings as much drama and storylines into a game like the New York Jets. They host the Buffalo Bills tonight, tight spread. And that one, we have, I believe, four total bets for that game. Then we have two Major League Baseball playoff games, Dodgers-Mets, and the Yankees and Guardians get the ALCS underway tonight in New York City. So that will be the start of the show, second half of the show. Brad Powers will be here to recap a lot of what we saw out of college football over the weekend. It was a big weekend that really lived up to the hype, and he has a couple of best bets to give out for the week ahead here as well. If you guys want to participate in the show, it is very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. A couple guys in there already. Mark S. says, drop some knowledge on us, Joey. I like my plays very much today. Five total NFL Major League Baseball. Jigglypuff, Bills by 10. Josh Allen has never lost three in a row. I don't know if that's true, but according to Jigglypuff, it is. Bill's kind of limping into this one. Jets may be getting them at the right time. Jim Lloyd saying Jets on the money line. Jets get right game with the new coach. Get right for the Jets. I don't know about that. Okay. Enough small talk. Let's get into it. Let's bring in my first guest of the day to be covering Monday Night Football and Major League Baseball. John Mettler, a fellow Canadian. We're celebrating Canadian Thanksgiving, otherwise known as Thanksgiving, up here in Canada. So, John, happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to any Canadians watching. John, how are you making out?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. We celebrated yesterday, so it was about 35 people in a barn and projector football on the screen, so that's a must in our family. Otherwise, I don't think people would show up if there was no football on, so it's important.
Darn, baby. Okay. Yeah. People dropping picks already in the live chat. Jigglypuff likes Keon Coleman to get into the end zone, plus 285. And Alec Ellis Pierce likes Josh Allen under 35.5 rush yards, potentially a little beat up Josh Allen. That will be a theme from one of my picks here later. But let's do a little recap of what we saw here yesterday in the NFL, John. Let's start the Monday show like we typically do in the NFL section of our show. Our biggest winners and losers from the week. Let's start positive and let's start with the biggest winners. My list of the biggest winners. The biggest winner of the week is anyone who is backing a lot of favorites and overs this week. So favorites 9-3-1 against the spread so far here in week six. And we saw a lot of scoring in Thursday Night Football, a lot of scoring yesterday. Overs 10-2-1 so far here this week. Will that carry over till tonight? I don't think so. More on that later. My second biggest winner of the week is Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. So a bit of an underwhelming start to the season for the Lions. I think a lot of people would agree with that. But in their last two games, the Lions have scored 89 points, almost 900 yards of offense for them. A lot of big chunk plays, a lot of trick plays, just a lot of fun for the Detroit Lions here. And then my third biggest winner of the week, it's the NFC North. So teams in this division yesterday, they went 3-0. All easy, no sweat wins. The Bears win by 19. The Packers win by 21. The Lions beat the embarrassment that is the Dallas Cowboys by 38. The four teams in this division, 17-5 on the season so far. So it looks to be a very competitive season for the NFC North. John, who are your biggest winners of the day there yesterday?
I think the biggest three winners I put here is anyone who still believed in the Baltimore Ravens when they started 0-2 because those Super Bowl futures, you know, they obviously got pushed back, and that was a tough looking schedule, right? Cowboys, Bengals, Bills. You didn't really look like they could rebound. Even the Commanders, you know, look better than you thought they would be. Now they're 4-2 and they're up there near the top of the odds board. So if you buy low, sell high type thing, the Baltimore Ravens, that's a interesting one there. Same thing with Caleb Williams here, offensive rookie of the year. You know, he came in big, like was like plus 150, I think, right? To start the year, then kind of got thrown back to like plus 600. Now he's right there again after four touchdowns yesterday. Jaden Daniels, that's going to be a tight race. And the final one from Thanksgiving, when we went to Thanksgiving, Cousins, there's like 10 of us in a group chat, and we all decided to bet some anytime touchdowns for the Lions game because the Lions game was going to be on the big screen. And we had Sam Laporta, and the place went crazy. We were literally in the middle of eating dinner, and then they ran that trick play, and the ball was in the air, and you could just see 87 going towards him. And my one cousin like stood up, he's like, "That's our guy." And it was so funny. Then we're like,
"Oh, yeah,"
screaming with him to run. So we had Tim Patrick as well, and he got just stopped on a review there. That way we went 2 for 2, but that was pretty electric. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, hell yeah. What a play that was. Live chat, Jigu Puff. Joe almost went 4 for 4. Yes, thank you for pointing that out, by the way. I did go 3-1 with my picks on Friday's show. Almost got the sweep, but a play there at the end of the Patriots game, at the end of the first half, pushed it over, unfortunately. Probably shouldn't have hit. There were some turnovers and stuff like that. But yeah, a good week for me here so far in week 6, my best week of the season so far. So hopefully we can finish strong. Okay, our biggest losers of the week. First and foremost, obviously, it is the embarrassment that is the complete organization of the Dallas Cowboys. Their worst home loss in 35 years. Enough with these spotlight games with the Dallas Cowboys. Enough of this America's team bullshit. It's embarrassing. Really, Dallas? You score 9 points. You lose by 38 points on your home field. Just a complete no-show by Dak Prescott, this entire coaching staff, on Jerry Jones's birthday, no less. But hey, congrats to Jerry Jones for still doing his media availability like every other owner does after every game, right? No, wrong. Jerry, this is not about you. Get away from the cameras. Get away from the microphones. You are the reason that this team cannot bring on a serious head coach. You bring on a puppet, and as a result, you get these results where the team absolutely shrinks in big spots. And yesterday was a big spot versus a good team in the conference. The Dallas Cowboys are not a good team. Any championship window they had is now officially shut. So check them out. You guys might have heard about this, but their last 4 games at home where they've gotten completely destroyed, halftime deficits. Go back to the playoff game versus the Packers last season. They were down by 20 at half at home. Earlier in the season, they were down by 19 at half versus the Saints, by 15 versus Baltimore, by 21 at half versus the Lions yesterday. A complete and total joke. People, you got to fire Mike McCarthy. They're not going to fire Mike McCarthy. Are you out of your mind? You saw how long they held on to Jason Garrett for? Mike McCarthy, he has the best job security in the NFL. He's not getting fired. My second biggest loser, and this guy is a complete and total loser, Nick Sirianni. Hey, bud, congrats on barely beating the disgrace that is the Cleveland Browns on your home field, coming off a bye as the biggest favorite of the week here in the NFL. And what a jackass this guy is. At the end of the game, he gets into it with the home fans. We all know the fans in Philly are absolutely nuts. Hey, Nick, you know the cameras are always rolling, right, dude? And he gets caught jawing with some of the fans. And then what he does to deflect from that and change the tone of the press conference afterwards, what does he do? He shows up with his cute little kids on his lap. Totally changes the tone. As a result, he doesn't have to answer to what happened at the end of the game with the fans. So that was a coward move by Nick Sirianni. He might be on borrowed time here. He is on a fast track to getting fired for the Philadelphia Eagles. Talk about falling upwards. This is what the situation is for Sirianni. That win over the Saints a couple of weeks ago, too. That was a joke. And my third biggest loser of the week, football fans in London. So imagine you're an NFL fan in London and you're force-fed Jaguars games every single season. The Jaguars come to town twice a year. You're going to be thinking, what did we do as football fans in London to get attached specifically to the Jaguars? And we see the Jaguars, they get obliterated yesterday. And what is the reward for London's fans for needing to sit through that? Oh, yeah, the New England Patriots are coming to town to take on the Jaguars next week. And speaking of the Patriots, settle down a little bit here about Drake May. We're not that far removed from you guys thinking Mac Jones was a second coming of Tom Brady. How did that work out? Mac Jones or Drake May, he made a nice throw. That was a nice touchdown pass that he made. That's something we see every Friday in a high school game. The wide receiver was wide open. Nice pass. He dropped it in there, 40-yarder, but pump the brakes a little bit. Johnny, your biggest losers of the week in the NFL.
Yeah, my biggest loser, number one, Jigglypuff, I got you. Detroit Lions. I think that's the biggest loser. It's not because they're 4-1. They are the team. They're a really good team. But if you have futures on the Detroit Lions right now, Aiden Hutchinson breaking his leg out for the season, that's a huge, huge loss. I mean, you can go through the regular season and you can win games and stuff, but when it comes down to like an actual like Super Bowl bet and you need your best players on the field, that's a huge loss. You kind of wonder, we've heard of like kind of some rumors around here that Max Crosby might be a target of them. I don't know if now they would go push all in for draft picks and stuff because of that injury. Kind of something to keep an eye on. My second loser, New Orleans Saints. You go back like week one, week two, right? If you were watching the New Orleans Saints, they jump out 2-0, blow out huge wins and stuff. And people kind of jumped in on their futures and were excited to like back them. And like maybe they can win the NFC South, and they've completely fallen off since then. Tampa Bay Buccaneers destroyed them yesterday. And my last one for my biggest losers of week six, rookie wide receivers. We saw Malik Nabers still not playing with a concussion. Now Marvin Harrison Jr. is out with a concussion as well. He missed a game. So if you're kind of on that train of, you know, the first 2 weeks, the quarterbacks weren't really doing what you expected. They weren't throwing touchdowns. If you jumped in, I'm going to go with the wide receivers. That's week six is kind of a tough one now for that market. If you decide to even back one or both wide receivers there, they both missed some games here, and that really hurts their stats, right?
Yeah, the Lions might be in trouble. The offense is absolutely buzzing. I think they're a candidate for the best offense in the league. Once again, you have to put them in there with the Ravens probably, but their defense already is not good. Now they lose their best defensive player for the season. Maybe it's something they can rally around a little bit, but motivation can really only get you so far. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see them the rest of the way. Probably a lot of overs in the future would be my prediction. Okay, so kind of a big game tonight in New York. Each team kind of limping into this one for different reasons. The Bills coming off of two straight losses, beat up a little bit. Josh Allen, I lean the Bills here on the spread, the money line. You know, it's a 1-point spread, but I'm a little bit scared. I don't think Josh Allen's at 100%. We know Cook's injured a little bit, and I could see it being one of these situations where, you know, we're halfway through the third quarter and Troy Aikman's, Josh Allen just doesn't look right tonight. So I expect the Bills to win. You know, people talk about the new team or the new coach bump for the Jets. Motivation can only take you so far. I don't think that team is very talented. Everyone, they're so talented. The Jets, are they really? I don't think they are. So let's get into our best bets here. I have three. John has one. My best bet for this game, I'm going to go under 41 points. What do the Bills do when they go on the road? They go under totals. They've gone under in 15 of their last 19 road games. You take a look at this matchup between these teams. These teams haven't crossed 40 points in three straight games against each other. The Jets on offense, they absolutely stink here. I don't think that's going to change tonight. Offense ranks 27th in yards per play. I mentioned Josh Allen. What is up with Josh Allen? The play has not been good the past couple weeks. He's been way off. 131 yards, one game, 180 the other. He's not even completing 50% of his passes in those games, and he's beat up too. He had his head bounced off the ground like a basketball hitting concrete last week in Houston, rolled his ankle, a big shot to the chest. And the Jets defense, they're not easy to move the ball against. The Jets defense is still good. I hate on the Jets, but I do have to give them some credit. They're first in yards per play allowed. So yeah, it's going to be a low scoring game. Lots of drama going into it. Might be a little bit of a snoozer though. So give me under 41 there. A couple of prop bets. Let's roll into them. Aaron Rodgers' longest completion, a bit of a weirdo bet here, but this is available at most spots. Aaron Rodgers' longest completion under 32.5 yards. I absolutely love this bet. So he hasn't had a 30-yard completion in four straight games. His longest completion of the season was a 36-yarder in week one versus San Francisco. The Bills are elite at limiting big pass plays. They've only allowed 8 pass plays of 20-plus and only one of 40-plus all season. This is a carryover from last season where they were one of the best in the league. And check out this stat. I absolutely love it. Aaron Rodgers has attempted just one pass that traveled 30-plus air yards all season. Average air yards per attempt for Rodgers, 3.3 yards. That ranks 38th in the NFL. So Aaron Rodgers' longest completion under 32.5 yards. John and I both expect the Jets running backs to be heavily in the mix here tonight. John, break down your favorite prop for the game.
Yeah, I decided to go with the backup here, not the starter. You know, Breece Hall is the big name. I'm going to go with Braylon Allen, anytime touchdown plus 330. My reasoning for this is really, you know, you look at the Bills a couple weeks ago, Derrick Henry absolutely crushed them on the ground, 199 yards. And why is that relevant? Well, Todd Downing is the new offense coordinator for the Jets, and he was the offense coordinator for the Titans in 21-22 when Derrick Henry would have been his featured weapon. His that's the guy he turned to, you know, for his offense, for his plays and stuff. So when he goes and watches the film on the Bills, I would think he would know how to attack this defense because he's coached Henry before and he knows what Henry likes and all those things. So Braylon Allen is more of a between the tackles, bowling ball, like bumper car type guy with that physicality of running. So I just feel like maybe with the matchup, and there's obviously a lot of uncertainty too, right? We don't really know what's going to change, how everything will look different. So I'm just going to roll with the backup here. I'm going to go plus 330. You know, Breece Hall was minus 105. It does kind of seem like Derrick Henry and Braylon Allen are more similar in running styles, and Todd Downing has, you know, coached one, coached the other. So I just feel like there could be something there. So I'm going with the plus 330 with Braylon Allen.
Okay, I like Breece Hall to be heavily involved in the game tonight. I'm going to go with him to have over 13.5 rush attempts. What he does with those attempts, I do not care. As long as he has 14 rush attempts, that is all I care about. So his usage has been heavily criticized by analysts and, of course, fantasy football players all season so far. And I'm wondering, hey, is the new staff going to respond here? Robert Saleh obviously out. Nathaniel Hackett no longer calling plays. Hackett shouldn't be calling plays for a high school team. It would make sense to have probably your best playmaker heavily involved here in the first game under the new regime. And even if they don't make these wholesale changes, don't be surprised to see him go over this number anyways, because he did go over it in the first three games of the season. He's on the field a lot, fourth most in snaps among running backs entering the week. And how do you beat the Buffalo Bills? Well, it's pretty simple. It is by running the football. This is one of, if not the worst run defenses in the NFL. They should be leaning on Hall. So 13.5 rush attempts. I expect him to go over that one tonight. Okay, John, let's move to Major League Baseball, where sadly your Detroit Lions, Tigers, both cats, no longer in the mix. So we'll touch on this really quickly before we get into the picks. Yeah, Tigers fans cannot be upset at all. I don't think, you know, maybe a little bit disappointment. You had maybe the feeling, hey, this is a team of destiny pitching. What were they calling it? Pitching madness? Pitching
chaos.
Pitching chaos. Yeah, they had that whole fun thing going for them. But that's a team ahead of schedule, man. I think the future is bright. I think they're going to spend some money here in the offseason. So as a fan of the Tigers, how do you feel about what we saw from them over the course of the season here and into the playoffs?
It was pretty exciting to see all the kids come up, and you know, you weren't expecting. I was at a game beginning of August with my dad, and he was like, do they have a chance of making the playoffs at all? And I said, no. I was like, they're going to, you know, they sold at the deadline. They're going to bring up all their prospects, and they just started winning. My only fear is that they don't spend some money because they think they can get away with this style that they played at the end of the year there that got them hot. Yeah. That was magical. Don't settle into that. The one thing I do like is my fear with a rebuilding team, especially when you're a fan of a team, is they get stuck in this, like they don't ever feel that playoff atmosphere. They don't ever, you know, get to see it and stuff. I'm really happy that group, like it's been 10 years, like Comerica Park was sold out, 45,000 people, absolutely electric. And I think that does something for an organization. It really pushes the players to like, hey, we want to get back to that. So I hate rebuilds personally. I think you can get stuck in them for a very long time. So I was pretty happy to see like them get that taste of the playoffs, because I think it will, you know, just push them to be even better next year.
Indeed. Okay, the future is bright in Detroit for a lot of the sports teams, not the Pistons. We'll save NBA talk till tomorrow's show, John. Okay, let's get into them. Six total picks for the two games. I'm being a bit more conservative with mine than John. I will get us started. Let's start with the first game. The Dodgers looking to go up 2-0 here on the Mets. A bull game, a bullpen game for them. I'm excited here. I can't speak today. Kind of a bit of a fade of Mets starter Sean Manaea. I'm going to take him to allow over 4.5 hits in this game. So don't let the Dodgers get hot. Maybe the most talented team in baseball. You know, we've seen them have some slip-ups in the playoffs before, but man, they got some momentum going. This offense is red hot. 25 hits over their last three games. They are elite versus left-handed pitching. Manaea, of course, is a left-hander. First in OPS versus lefty since the start of August. And plenty of red flags for him versus this lineup. LA hitters combined for a .288 average against him and 140 at-bats. Mookie Betts in particular has knocked him around pretty good. And he has not been good at Dodger Stadium in his career. An ERA of almost 7 at Chavez Ravine. So Manaea, he might have a decent game, but I think he'll still allow over 4.5. I don't think there'll be in a rush to yank him after needing to dip into the bullpen quite a bit there yesterday. So Manaea over 4.5. You like a home run hitter in this game, John. What are we looking at?
Well, Mark Vientos. So plus 480. You know, the Mets obviously didn't have a good day yesterday. Vientos was over 4, 3 strikeouts. Not really what you want to hear when I'm saying to bet on him to hit a home run. But the one thing I do like about this is, so like you said, it's a bullpen game for the Dodgers. And Vientos is a right-handed batter, but he, on this regular season, he had an OPS above 800 against lefties and righties. And I think that's very important as we go into the, you know, further into the postseason or into the postseason in general, where they're going to play matchups. So if you're someone, like a great example is always Carey Carpenter, who has like a 900 plus OPS against righties and can't hit lefties. And then he gets pulled from the game. That's not really something you want because they're going to play matchups, right? So he was bad in game one, but the NLDS, he was red hot, 9-for-16 against the Phillies, plus 480. I like this price point. The projection came out plus 300. So that's a nice edge on that number you're seeing there. So I'm going to go with Vientos, hit home run.
All right, from LA to New York, we're off to Yankee Stadium. 4 total bets for this game. I will get us started. I like Juan. I love this bet, which means Juan Soto is probably going to go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. But I'm going to take Soto to go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. It's minus 115. So Soto, no shock here. This is a guy who is always in the mix. He's gone over this number in 11 of his last 12 games going back to the regular season. Alex Cobb on the bound here for the Guardians. Might only throw 3 innings. Cobb or Soto might only see him twice, but he has owned him. 7-for-11 lifetime against him. Cobb struggled in the ALDS. He allowed 4 base runners, 2 earned runs in 3 innings of work. And Soto is a guy who was built for the big stage. Still just 25 years old. Can you imagine the money this guy's going to make here in free agency? A lot of playoff experience. He has gone over this number in 15 of his last 19 playoff games. He is always in the mix. Soto over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. John, let's rip through these ones. You like 3 home run hitters. You like Soto to go yard. You like Judge to go yard. And you like Noel to go yard. Break these down for us.
Yeah, I didn't wake up, especially in the postseason, thinking to bet 3 home run props from the same game. But the big factor here in all 3 of these is the wind is blowing out 18 miles per hour to right field in Yankee Stadium. And I mean, Yankee Stadium is a short porch to begin with. So that obviously really catches your attention when you're going through these odds. And I'll just speak kind of both Juan Soto and Aaron Judge both at the same time here. Neither one's hit a home run in the postseason. So their price is kind of, you know, gets a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. And now you're seeing Alex Cobb, you're seeing projections that are telling you we should bet this. Like if this is judged in the regular season, this could be plus 220 and we don't really want that. But because he's been ice cold in the postseason, it's plus 340. So plus 340, I'm going to hit the button on Judge. Like you said, with Soto, plus 400. I think that's a great price point as well, especially with against Cobb. He's owned Cobb, and Cobb has struggled against left-handed batters in his career. And again, short porch, lots of win. Last one, Jean-Kenzie Noel, Big Christmas, arguably one of the best nicknames in all of baseball. This guy's a left or right-handed batter who absolutely crushes left-handed pitching. 7 home runs in the regular season and only 57 at-bats. That's really, really good. And he's facing Carlos Rodon, who gave up 31 home runs a season, 28 to right-handers. So, I mean, the splits are there. The price is there. I think it was, you know, the prediction was like plus 330 and you're getting at plus 525. That's it. That's the biggest probability gap I saw in all the home run props. So not a big name, but good edge there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Rodon performs here. He kind of embarrassed himself in the previous series against the Royals. He came out all fired up, shouting. He had a really good first inning, and then he sucked. I think he got yanked in the fourth inning. So, yeah, we'll see if he can respond to that. But, John, we will leave it at that for your appearance today. Brad Powers coming right up. But John's going to be back on the show tomorrow and back on the show Wednesday. We're going to be covering Major League Baseball. We're going to keep continuing our NBA futures coverage as well. NBA season starts, is it a week from tomorrow, John?
Yeah, week Tuesday. Yeah, week from tomorrow.
Oh, man. A lot going on in the world of sports here. Okay, John, we will leave it at that. Thanks for joining, buddy. Best of luck with your bets, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
All right. I'm betting on a Boise State hat for Brad Powers. I have no idea, but I'm just guessing. Good luck with your bets.
We'll see. All right. Thanks, buddy. All right. Around 1,600 people watching live right now on YouTube and X. The majority of those on X right now. The live chat, very active. Guys, let us know. What do you like in Monday Night Football? What do you like in Major League Baseball? What do you like in the week coming up in college football? Enough waiting around. Let's talk some college football. Let's go down to sunny Las Vegas. Our guy, Brad Powers, representing the Longhorns. Another big win. Brad, how are we making out?
Doing well. I got to get a Boise hat. You know, if Genty wins the Heisman, I'll definitely have a Boise hat.
Okay, we can add it to the collection. So I think a big theme from the weekend, Brad, is what a game. You can say that about a handful of games out of the weekend. It was a big week, a lot of big games. It certainly lived up to the hype. So what are your two biggest takeaways from the week that was in college football?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of college football, another outstanding week. I mean, the big games lived up to the hype. But, you know, unfortunately for me and the viewers of this, I was on the wrong end of one of those games. And that being, I thought Ohio State would take care of business in Eugene. And I'm, you know, not overly shocked. They were only a 3-point favorite that they lost the game, but it's how they lost the game. Oregon was clearly the better team. Probably should have won by more. I mean, if you look at the points that they left off the board, two missed extra points, a missed field goal. Dylan Gabriel misses a wide open receiver on fourth down in the second half of that game. And the stunning thing to me is Ohio State's defense, which was, you know, by all intents and purposes, supposed to be top five, if not the best defense in the country. Looked nothing like it. No pressure up front. Run gaps are bad. Secondary loss. I mean, Denzel Burke's supposed to be a top 10 possible NFL draft pick. He's targeted eight times, gives up eight receptions for 180 yards. I mean, it was so bad that you almost have to question if he was throwing the game on purpose. I kid in that, but the game plan was horrific on the defensive side of the ball. I'm just stunned by that result. Not because I just had a bet, but I did not expect Ohio State to go down in that way. Other teams, obviously Penn State went from the outhouse to the penthouse in a matter of 30 minutes of football because they're down 20-6 against SC. And now with a win at SC and you look at their schedule, I mean, obviously they could still lose to Ohio State, but even if they lost that game, they're still likely in the playoffs. So there's a reason why they're minus 700 to make the playoffs. And then Ole Miss in the other game should have been a win. They couldn't get off the field late in the game. Multiple fourth downs for LSU. They convert them. The Tigers do. Ole Miss now on the outside looking in as far as the playoffs, which would be a massive disappointment.
Okay, so Oregon, they passed their first big test there in the Big Ten. As you said, they were the better team on the field there on Saturday evening. Elsewhere, the Longhorns continued their obliteration tour here of 2024. They destroyed Oklahoma by 31. So I don't think anyone would be surprised if these two teams are in the mix here come the playoff time. Who knows? Maybe even in the final. What would you make the spread between Texas and Oregon on a neutral field?
Yeah, Texas 4. And I'm probably being a little conservative there, to be honest with you. Keep in mind, Ohio State was just 3.5 on the road at Oregon. I need to see Texas in a big game. We'll see that on Saturday night against Georgia. But, I mean, the reality is Texas hasn't played a top 20 team. Well, they played Michigan. They played Oklahoma. Neither one of those teams, if you're doing a power rating, should be in your top 20. So, we'll finally get to see what Texas is all about. And if they pass the test this weekend, I wouldn't be, you know, afraid to make that point spread between that theoretical point spread between them and Oregon higher.
Okay, let's talk Alabama. They get off to a great start to the season, 4-0, capped off by that win against Georgia. And then they lose to Vanderbilt and they limp to this win over South Carolina on Saturday. They were really helped out. South Carolina turned the ball over four times. And my question for you is two questions. What's up with them? And could they be in trouble? They have three ranked opponents coming up, Tennessee, Missouri, LSU. So what's up with Alabama here?
It's a variety. It's just not one thing. It's a variety of things. Number one, it's the worst defense they've had in at least 20 years. So the one side of the football is pretty compromised, to say the least. And I'll be honest with you, if South Carolina had average quarterback play in that game, that would have been a loss last week on their home field against South Carolina. So if you lose to Vanderbilt and you almost lose to South Carolina in back-to-back weeks, no game safe on your schedule. So I agree with you. This could be a three-loss team. It's just not the defense. So the offensive line continues to struggle. Last year allowed a school record 49 sacks. Last week on, you know, on Saturday allowed 4 sacks, can't protect the quarterback. And then this is not a disciplined football team in year one under Kalen DeBoer, number 115 in the country in penalty yards. So you add those three together, and again, they can get beaten any single week, including this week on the road in Knoxville.
Okay, perhaps the most thrilling win of the week saw LSU go to overtime against Mississippi. They pick up the W there. 5 straight wins for them since dropping the season opener to USC. So awaiting for them in the second half of the season, they have Texas A&M and Alabama should be their most challenging games. Taking a look at LSU, they're plus 120 to make the college football playoff. Good bet or bad bet?
Bad bet for me. I mean, yeah, they've won 5 straight since the opener, but my goodness. I mean, they were down 17 to South Carolina. Fortunate in that game. Fortunate last week. Again, multiple fourth down conversions on that drive to force overtime. I don't see it. In fact, I wouldn't be stunned if they lost this week. I bet Arkansas this week, and it's not like they're a big favorite. They're only favored by 3 right now on the road against Arkansas. Arkansas is off a bye, and then at A&M the very next week where LSU will be an underdog. I think we'll get our answer on within 12 days, and I think they're going to be on the outside looking in.
Okay, so we're at the midway point of the season for most of these teams. For you, who's been the biggest disappointment and who's been the biggest surprise so far?
I can't. I mean, there's so many compared to, past years that I can't narrow it down to just one on each. But obviously, Florida State's been the biggest downgrade. I mean, 17 points in my power ranks from preseason ACC favorite to not making a bowl game. You could say the same about NC State, who was also one of the favorites in that preseason favorites in ACC. The Wolfpack probably aren't going to make a bowl game. And then Oklahoma State, one of the favorites in the Big 12 this year. The Cowboys probably won't make a bowl game. So those are the three biggest disappointments. As far as the biggest surprises, I mean, start with the service academies, Army, Navy. I mean, we're talking, win totals of 5.5 to start the season. And now we're talking playoffs with those two teams. Speaking of that, a team with a win total of 5.5, Indiana is also thinking playoffs, and they're favored by a touchdown against a one-loss Nebraska team this week. Indiana's going to be favored in every game but one down the stretch, that being at Ohio State. And obviously, you got to mention Vanderbilt. Not one, not two, but 3 outright upsets as a almost 2-touchdown underdog. And obviously, the Alabama game was a big one. That Vanderbilt's a team with a win total early. If you would have bet their win total at the start of summer, it was 2.5. Now they're thinking bowl game.
2.5?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, let's go Vandy. Okay, let's get into best bets here. We have a duo of underdogs. Let's start with Auburn, plus 5.5, taking on Missouri. Why do you like Auburn to cover this number?
Well, I mean, number one, I think the line's going to close in the 4 range, so there's that. I think Auburn's pretty live in this game for a variety of reasons. Number one, this is a 2-4 football team that could easily change a couple plays before and 2. You look at them statistically, they're more than 1 yard per play better as far as their yards per play margin, better than Missouri. And they have played a strength of schedule almost 100 spots more difficult than Missouri. So statistically much better than Missouri, despite playing a much tougher schedule off a bye, playing a phony Missouri team. I like Auburn plus the 5.5, and I'd sprinkle a little bit on the money line. I think they win.
Okay, next up we have a frisky Kentucky team, plus 2.5, taking on Florida. And you think Kentucky can give them a game?
I do. And this is another one where I think the underdog wins outright here for a variety of reasons. Number one, Graham Mertz, the quarterback for Florida, is not going to play. He's out. Now people are going to say, well, DJ Lagway's got plenty of experience and DJ Lagway's a 5-star and he's more talented. But I don't think people appreciate Graham Mertz enough. And you can see it in the Tennessee game. I know Lagway had a big time throw to force overtime, but that Florida offense was moving the football until Lagway got in there on a consistent basis. So Mertz is a bigger loss than at least what the market's anticipating. And another loss for Florida, starting running back, Montrell Johnson, who's probably their best offensive player, might not play either. So you add those two together against a really good Kentucky defense. I like Kentucky outright.
Okay, there you have it. Best bet recap, Auburn plus 5.5, Kentucky plus 2.5. Okay, Brad, we will leave it at that, but you're going to be right back with us on Friday's show. Probably a few more best bets. We have a bunch of big games coming up again this week here. Another sexy looking slate here in college football. So until then, best of luck with all your handicapping. Can't wait to talk to you on Friday.
Let's do better. I mean, last week, I got to admit, losses were not a good week. 1-4 drops the record to 18-18. So let's have a winning week and get back onto the plus side.
We're due. Let's go. All right, Brad. Best of luck with everything. We'll catch you on Friday.
See you Friday.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, yeah, this is a great looking night in sports. It was a great weekend in sports. I'm having a great week six here. I had the baseball on one screen, the Bengals and Giants on the other last night. That was an awful game, by the way, but it is what it is, I guess. So hopefully, yeah, hopefully we get an entertaining night of sports here tonight. Major League Baseball playoffs, Monday Night Football. We'll see how the Jets can respond, if they can get a bit of that new coach bump. I don't think they will, but we'll see how healthy Josh Allen is here tonight and if he can get the Bills back on track. Okay, big show coming up tomorrow. Oh, let's recap these really quickly. Bills Jets under 41.5. That's my best bet for the game. Couple props I like for this one. Aaron Rodgers, longest completion, under 32.5. Brees Hall, over 13.5 rush attempts. John Mettler with Braylon Allen, anytime touchdown, plus 330. My best bets for Major League Baseball: Sean Manaea, over 4.5 hits allowed. Juan Soto, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And Mettler went with Aaron Judge, Soto, Noel, and Avientos, all to go yard in Major League Baseball. Hopefully we get plenty of offense there for him and a couple of boys can hit some home runs. Some big money Mets bets there for John. Big money Mets. Good season by the Mets. That's another team that can't be disappointed in how their season played out. It was supposed to be a reset year for them. They're going to spend a lot of money here in the offseason. Corbin Burns, maybe they sneak in there in the Yankees and steal Juan Soto, only 25 years old. Unbelievable. Okay, so big show tomorrow. Professional sports better Hitman will be here. Going to look to get ahead of some of these lines here in Week 7 NFL action. John Mettler will be with me to cover Major League Baseball and NBA futures. NBA season is only about a week away, and we're covering everything that there is to cover in the world of sports betting here at Cover. So make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel on YouTube. The button is right down there. It makes our content much easier to find. Thanks to all the guys in the live chat. Very lively live chat today here on YouTube and X. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you to my guests for joining. Thank you to producer Mick for producing. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. Best of luck with your bets tonight, everybody. We will catch you again tomorrow. Woo!